ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्री मुकुंदमाला स्तोत्र Text 3, Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatya Yache Bhavantam Ekantam Ayantam Artham Avismritihi Tvat Charna Aravinde Bhave Bhave Me Astu Bhavat Prasadat Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatya Yache Bhavantamekantamiyantamartham Avismritistvatcharanaravinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatya Yache Bhavantamekantamiyantamartham Avismritistvatcharanaravinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. Translation. O Lord Mukunda, I bow down my head to your lordship and respectfully ask you to fulfill this one desire of mine, that in each of my future births I will, by your lordship's mercy, always remember and never forget your lotus feet. I'll just read one paragraph of the purport. It is quite long. It's almost 4 pages. The world in which we live is a miserable place. It is, so to speak, a prison house for the spirit soul. Just as a prisoner cannot move or enjoy life fully, so the living entities who have been conditioned by the laws of material nature cannot experience their actual ever-joyful nature. They cannot have any freedom because they must suffer 4 principal miseries: birth, old age, disease, and death. The laws of material nature impose this punishment upon the living entities who have forgotten the Lord and who are busy making plans for lasting happiness in this desert of distress. It's not very well known, even among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, that he translated with commentary the first 6 verses of Mukundamala Stotra of King Kulashekar, and probably many of the devotees in our movement have never heard of these prayers at all, which is unfortunate because they are extraordinarily beautiful and thickly permeated with bhakti ras composed by Kulashekar Alva. I see in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya of Kulashekar Alva is in that sampradaya, that it's quite popular. It's recited, you see, devotees, probably more than I'm aware of, because probably most of them who do have books of it, who carry it around with them and recite it, they're probably reading it in Tamil and maybe in Telugu also. Anyway, it's very beautiful, and I particularly chose this verse, and I'll read a few more also, continuing the theme of next life meditations. We understand that in this material world, as Srila Prabhupada puts it very straightforwardly, the world in which we live is a miserable place. In this material world, it's a place of suffering. So, naturally, anyone who understands this should want to get out of it. More than anything else. Whatever else you may want to do, the first condition is you have to get out of this place of suffering. Just like a person in prison, Srila Prabhupada gives the example, a person in prison, they may have so many desires of things they want to do, but the first thing to fulfill, to even begin to fulfill all those desires, is to get out of prison. Of course, as long as he's in prison, depending on what kind of prison he's in, he can make some adjustment. In some prisons in America, there are all facilities for sports and swimming. It's like a country club. Not the one that I visited twice. It's a pretty tough place. So in the prison, you can, with the limited freedom you have, you can try to enjoy it to some extent. Or you can make friends, well, there are facilities for smuggling in illegal drugs, it seems, in most prisons in the world. So you can enjoy yourself like that. But if you really want to fulfill desires, you have to get out of prison. So it would be expected that someone who's understood that this world is miserable, that their first priority is to get out of it, which makes it all the more remarkable that there are so many prayers of devotees recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukunda Mala, and elsewhere, in which they don't pray for liberation from this world, they pray for devotion to Krishna, just like this prayer here. You may wonder why I started with text 3 and not with text 1, because this theme is taken up here, bhave bhave, in birth after birth, which is asking for, well, there are different prayers, which is why I'm reading this. This one, he asks for avismriti tvach charanaravinda, that I may not forget your lotus feet. Aravinde bhave bhave, in birth after birth, that I may remember your lotus feet. And that's also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayo. What's the next? Does anyone know that? Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayo. What is it? Tashangcha. No. Tashangshanoti. It destroys all in the remembrance of the lotus, of the two lotus feet of Krishna, destroys all inauspiciousness and brings in auspiciousness. Sham means auspiciousness, as in the name Shankara, name of Lord Shiva, who makes auspiciousness. So I just remembered the first line of that verse, that's all. So it's specifically making the point in birth after birth. In other words, the devotee is not praying for freedom from birth and death, which the name by which he has addressed the Lord here is Mukunda, which means he who gives birth and death. But I'm not praying to you for that. I'm not praying for freedom from birth and death. I'm praying that in my various, there may be various births, but may I never forget your lotus feet. That's more important. That's also considered some kind of personal desire to get free from birth and death. Is bhave bhave, in birth after birth, this comes up again and again in various verses. In the penultimate verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Do you all know what penultimate means? Can all learn a word if you don't know what it means. It means the one before the last. So, It goes as follows. Bhave bhave. There you go. Bhave bhave. Yata bhakti padayos tavajayate tata kurushva devesha natas tvang no yata. Prabhu. O Lord of Lords, O Master, please grant us pure devotional service at your lotus feet, life after life. So it's a very similar theme. So the next verse of Mukunda Mala, verse 4, I'll just give the translation. O Lord Hari, it is not to be saved from the dualities of material existence or the grim tribulations of the Kumbhipaka hell that I pray to your lotus feet. So I'm praying to you, but I'm not Hari, again, one who delivers. So I'm not praying to be delivered from the suffering of the dualities of material existence or from hell. That's what I'm praying to you, but not for that. Nor is my purpose to enjoy the soft-skinned, beautiful women who reside in the gardens of heaven. I pray to your lotus feet only so that I remember you alone in the core of my heart, birth after birth. So again, the same theme, but in a more is added there. Text 5. Oh my Lord, I now listen to this and see how similar this is to the Shikshashtaka, Nadhanam Najanam verse. And this was written some thousands of years before. Mukunda Malakulashekhar Alva came, what about, according to the Ramanuja Sampradaya, not according to modern historians, he came about, that would have been about, what, 3,500 years before Lord Chaitanya. So anyway, this is all eternal sentiments. It's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly invented the Shikshashtaka, or that Kulashekhar Alva invented Mukunda Mala. These are all eternal, but they become manifest. It is his composition. It is the expression of his heart. That's poetry. Poetry means to express the heart. And if it's really the product of a feelingful heart. A heart means there's feeling. We say someone is heartless, means there's no feeling, cold. But someone who has got a lot of feeling in their heart, they can express poetry. So the most beautiful poetry is that which glorifies the most beautiful person. So yeah. So I'll say that you can just listen and see how, even though the Sanskrit is quite different to the words are different to the Nadhanam Najanam verse, but the meaning is the same. Oh my Lord, I have no attachment for religiosity, or for accumulating wealth, or for enjoying sense gratification. Let these come as they inevitably must in accordance with my past deeds. So he doesn't reject them. But if they come, all right, okay. Because he was a king. But so he got all these facilities. But all right, okay. He's not attached to them. But I do pray for this most cherished boon. Birth after birth, let me render unflinching devotional service unto your two lotus feet. So we can see how the close parallel between these sentiments and those which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he expressed also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the teachings of the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, they are the Vitti Swarup, the foundation of the Gaurīya Vaishnav teachings. So verse 6, O Lord, killer of the demon Narak, let me reside either in the realm of the demigods, in the world of human beings, or in hell, as you please. I pray only that at the point of death I may remember your two lotus feet, whose beauty defeats that of the lotus growing in the Sharad season. So, why should he not be afraid of going to hell? Because he's thinking, if I can remember your lotus feet, then hell is heaven. And if I don't remember, then heaven is hell. That's a devotee's way of thinking. Then going to another verse, so we read 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then verse 24, this is not translated by Srila Prabhupada directly, as the others that we read are. O Madhava, please do not let me even glance at those whose pious credits are so depleted that they have no devotion for your lotus feet. Please do not let me be distracted from listening to the worthy narrations of your pastimes and become interested in other topics. Please, O Lord of the universe, let me pay no attention to those who avoid thinking of you, and let me never be unable to serve you in some menial way, birth after birth. So again, the birth after birth theme comes. So, I didn't say it yet, and it's about time. Natanam na janam na sundarin kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's summed up, summarized all these sentiments in his famous prayer, as recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the last chapter, which describes the Shikshashtaka, the prayers composed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eight prayers composed, gathered, and there are others also that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Naham Vipro na Chandarapati, that's ascribed directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But anyway, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays and teaches us to pray that not to pray for wealth, followers, beautiful women, intellectual achievements, even though Jagadish, the Lord of the universe, can give all these things, but we only pray that in life after life, I may have unmotivated devotional service unto you. So this theme is taken up also by our Gaudiya Acharyas. I'll read from some of the offerings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this regard, in his songs. Kita janma hao jatha tua das bahi mukha brahma janme nahi ash. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote this. Let me be born as an insect if I can be your servant. You may think, well, how can an insect be a servant? He can't do arati. He can't go on collection. Can't distribute books. Well, you can do Shravan and Kirtan. You can have the mood of being the servant. Actually, what can any of us do? We're all very tiny. What can we do to serve Krishna? Only by His mercy we can do anything. Kita janma jodi hoy taha teo doyamoy rahibo he santushta antare. Somehow, if I can be born as a worm or an insignificant, if I can be born in, actually, I should have put the line before this also. I mean, be born in the house of one of your devotees, then I can be satisfied. He has a whole song. It's also from the Sharanagati of how He'd like to be the, he's praying to be the dog of a Vaishnav. He'll be tied up outside, not inside. And he'll accept the remnants of food, whatever. Very beautiful song. Then from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Yamuna Bhavavali, which is a series of songs he composed. These are not so very well known. He's composed so many songs. Which each song is a Bengali verse rendition of selected verses from Yamuna Acharya Stotra Ratna. So here's part of one of them. Again, the Yamuna Acharya, of course, is Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, considered one of the gurus of Sri Ramanuja Acharya. Taba dasha shangahin jay grihasta arba chin ta grihe chatur mukha bhuti. Na hao kokon hari karo doi jor kari kari bhakativin odaminati. Please never let me take birth in the home of a householder who is averse to the association of your devotee, even if his household opulences rival those of Lord Brahma's. This is the only humble prayer that Bhaktivinod is making now with folded hands. Then from similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, many songs, many Sanskrit verses he rendered into Bengali verse. Radhikashtaka is there, then Raghunath Das's Manashika, this Yamuna Bhavavali is there. And he also did for Shikshashtaka. So in his Bengali rendering of the Nadhanam Najandam verse, he wrote, Nijja karma guna doshe jeje janma pai, janme janme jeno tava nama guna gai. He says that, according, whatever birth I may get, whatever births I may get, according to my previous activities, qualities and faults, I pray that in birth after birth, I may sing your names and qualities. This is the prayer of a devotee. This is devotional. Our own Srila Prabhupada, before he was known as Srila Prabhupada, when he was a householder devotee of the Gauriya Math, somewhat well known and respected, definitely not one of the leading figures, he wrote, concluding a Vyasa Puja offering to his Sri Gurudev, composed in English. Most of his godbrothers, they would have, if they'd written anything, they would have written in Bengali. He wrote, personally, I have no hope for any direct service. For the coming crores of births of the sojourn of my life. But I am confident that someday or other I shall be delivered from this Maya, M-I-R-E, which means dark position, from this Maya of delusion, in which I am at present so deeply sunk. Yeah, Maya gives the idea, English word Maya gives the idea of some very dark, fallen position, like fallen in some dirt or something like that. Therefore, let me with all my earnestness pray at the lotus feet of my divine master to allow me to suffer the lot for which I am destined due to my past misgivings, but to let me have the power of recollection that I am nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty Absolute Godhead, realized through the unflinching mercy of my divine master. Let me therefore bow down at his lotus feet with all the humility at my command. So Srila Prabhupada also, he's expressing so humbly that I have no hope for any direct service for the coming cross of my births. But he's praying, let me suffer for what I have to suffer. The same thing. Nidja karma guna doshe jay jay jammapai janme janme jena tava nama guna. It's similar. Now let me always remember that I'm simply a tiny servant. That's all. So this same ideas, again and again we find in the Vaishnava literature. Here in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described a very joyful section in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already taken sannyas, staying in Puri, and devotees, a party of devotees were coming from Bengal to ostensibly to see Jagannath's Rath Yatra, but to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. They would stay with him until the end of Chaturmasya each year. So they met at Ataranala, that's the 18 arched bridge, which is the entrance to Puri coming from, that's the only way to enter, at least at that time, coming from Bengal side. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the devotees who were residing with him in Puri, and they met very jubilantly. They met the devotees arriving from Bengal, and then after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave garlands from Jagannath to Advaita Acharya, and then all the devotees, there was embracing, then all the devotees bowed down, both from both parties. They bowed down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's described, Shabai Magen Bor Sri Charana Dhari Janma Janma Jena Prabhu Toma Na Pashari. They said, all of them, they, holding his lotus feet, they begged a boon that in life after life, Prabhu, O Master, that we may not forget you. Kimanusha pashu paki hoi jata tata toma charan jeno dekiye sharvata. So whether we're born as a human, as an animal, or a bird, or whatever, maybe always have the opportunity to, in all circumstances, to see your lotus feet. So, what would you all like to be in your next life? I started this off by series of talks by talking about the survey in Italy, where people were asked, what would you like to be in your next life? And most people said, either a horse or a dog. So, could be a horse or a dog if in Krishna's service. But the main thing is to be in Krishna's service. That is the desire. I think many disciples of Srila Prabhupada have expressed that they wish they'd been with Prabhupada from the early days, from the very early days. There is actually one of my godbrothers. He was initiated as Prabhupada Das. He's taken sannyas now. I don't know what his sannyas name is. But he actually met Prabhupada very early on. I think even before Prabhupada was in New York, but I think this was before he got the 26th Second Avenue, which was the beginning. Prabhupada said the real beginning of our movement was in Los Angeles when we got, but it was the Sutrapat, the beginning of the sowing, just the, that 26th Second Avenue, things just started to take some form. So even before that, he met him, and Srila Prabhupada told him, you come and join me. But he didn't. He didn't feel like it at the time. He came a few years later. So many devotees think they would like to join in those days, and especially thinking Srila Prabhupada was alone. There was no, in those early days, no one, he was there in New York, no one was with him. He was living in a room without windows even. And there was just an apparently poverty-stricken condition. Even in India before that, he was practically poverty-stricken, although he'd been a businessman before that. But he had whatever income, he would go begging and he would use all the money for printing his books and magazines. So sometimes we think if we could have, at least we could have served him. But then we wouldn't have, again, that those who came in the early days, they didn't know how to serve him. In the beginning, they accepted service from him. But it's actually quite painful to think of Srila Prabhupada. It's glorious. Certainly it's glorious, but he was struggling there alone in a foreign land with completely sheltered at Krishna's lotus feet. He's living up to his name of Abhay Charanaravinda. It's nice to think that we could be there to serve Srila Prabhupada from the beginning. I often think that Srila Prabhupada came to Britain first in 1969. I was there just a short distance away, living just outside London. If I'd have known, and then Prabhupada was living in John Lennon's estate in Berkshire, which was, so when he was in central London, I was by transport, could have been within half an hour in Prabhupada's presence, and the other side also, because I was living just west of London, and Prabhupada went, this Tittenhurst Park, which Srila Prabhupada is living in, that was just a bit further west of London, so I was so close, but I had no idea and no inclination. When I first heard about devotees, I wasn't interested. It didn't make any impression at that time. But we like to think that, well, it would have been nice to join. Of course, if I'd have met Srila Prabhupada at that time, then I'd be very young. But there were some children who, even in America, who came to Srila Prabhupada. So the idea that we could help, but actually most of the devotees, those who came in the early days, in the beginning, they were more of a liability than a help. They had no idea that Prabhupada would cook for them and then they'd go away and then Srila Prabhupada would clean up everything. They didn't even have that basic human decency to think there's an old man and we just ate. And he cooked, he served us, and at least we could clean up. And a few of them started to think and started to help. And then Prabhupada taught, first of all, Keith, who became initiated as Kirtanananda, taught him to cook. He was actually a very good cook. Prabhupada sometimes called him Kitchen Ananda. But anyway, whenever we get the mercy, we're fortunate to take it. You may think we come in the early days, but you might be overly familiar also. Or you may misunderstand his mission. I'll just finish this seminar, unless there are any questions, with a quotation. It's translation of three verses from Nrisimha Purana, which are quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Dhamaraj once asked a candidate for punishment, "Why didn't you worship Lord Keshava? If you had done so, you wouldn't have to rot in hell and suffer like this. What was your reason for not worshipping the Supreme Lord? When worshipped with even an offering of a little water, the Lord awards liberation to the worshipper. Why did you not worship Lord Narayana, who appears in various incarnations such as Nrisimha and possesses unlimited transcendental names such as Hrishikesha? He alone awards liberation to those who remember him." So while we're thinking about future lives, we can also think about this life. In my next life, I'd like to be a great pure devotee, acharya, going all over the world, delivering millions of people. Well, that's a nice daydream, maybe. But do what you can now. You may or may not at some point in time be a great acharya, but we don't find anyone actually praying like that. Let me be a great acharya. Everyone, all the prayers are to be a humble servant, that's all. That could also be some kind of maya. That, well, if I'm going to be a devotee, I'm going to be the best devotee. I can't be number 75 zillion, 233 trillion, 24 billion, 19 million, 200,000, and 74. That's not my position. I can't be one of the gopi, but at least I should be in the first 1,000 or so. There's not a devotional way of thinking. Let me be a big preacher. We can pray as Prabhupada prayed, that I am just like a puppet in your hands, make me dance. You can deliver them by my reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. But we should think of this life. We may not be a very big acharya, but we can help others to come to Krishna consciousness. We can practice Krishna consciousness ourselves. But always we should remember, smaran nityam anityatvam. Smaran nityam anityatvam. Yeah. Just remember, always, everything here in this world is temporary. There is birth after birth after birth. Unless and until we surrender to Krishna, but the higher level of devotion is not even to pray for liberation from this world, but simply to pray, let me be your servant birth after birth. So I've quoted a few verses in this regard. Hare Krishna. Is any question? Please. It should be nice to learn, those who are into learning shlokas. Very, very beautiful prayers of Kula Shekhar.
Any question?
Yes, see your hand up.
We preach in the material world as place of suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a common question. On the one hand, there's so much emphasis on this world is miserable, we should get out of it and go back to God. I think this came up just the other day, wasn't it? Same question. On the other hand, it seems to be contradictory to pray that birth after birth may I be your servant. Yeah, understanding that this world is miserable and wanting to get out of it, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport it's a kind of selfishness, but this kind of selfishness is allowed. In our present consciousness, we are so much self-centered that, and our consciousness is so limited that, our first impetus for spiritual life is to realize that I'm suffering and I need to get out. And my only hope for that is the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna, he accepts that, and he preaches that in Bhagavad Gita also. But a higher level of devotion is to pray, Mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhakti rahaitu gitvaya, life after life. When I may serve you without any motivation. So it is a higher level, no doubt. But those who pray for liberation from this world, they also get it by the mercy of the Lord. And in most of the Vaishnava sampradayas, that they emphasize on that, moksha. But they don't want impersonal liberation, but their aim is moksha. They're quite clear about it. And of course, if one prays, birth after birth, may I serve you, then such a person is already liberated. Iha dase hare bhaktiya. Iha dase hare dase karmana manasagira nikila svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchite. One is said to be already liberated in this very life if his words, acts, and thoughts are completely dedicated to the service of Krishna. Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasagira nikila svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchite. You want to look up that verse? Avismriti Krishna Padaravindaya. Shinoti. Shinoti apadrani chashantanoti. Satvasya shudhing paramatma bhaktim. And the last line. Gyanam chavika. Look up S-A-M, one word, and then T-A-N-O-T-I. Shantanoti. Satvasya shudhing paramatma bhaktim. What's the last line? Avismriti Krishna padaravindaya kshinotya bhadrani chashantanoti satvasya shudhing paramatma bhaktim. Then last line. Jnanam chavijnanam. You don't get it?
Conversation.
No, it's there in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Sham, S-A-M, is one word. Next word, T-A-N-O-T-I, Shantanoti.
Avismriti Krishna
Padaravindaya Padaryo Shinoti Abhadrani Cha Shantanoti
Satvasya Shuddhim Paramatma Bhakti Jnanam Cha Viraga Yukta
Viraga Yuktaha. Yeah. Read the translation.
Remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and awards the greatest good fortune. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion for the Supreme Soul, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation.
Alright, anything else?
There is one more verse after this in Srila Prabhupada's edition. Guru Shekhar was praying that in any of my future births, let me not take birth as a woman.
Oh, right. It was left out of this edition. It was left out of this edition, yeah. Yeah, there's one verse in which he says, may I not take birth as a woman. And it was left out of this edition. And Prabhupada commented on that also, that there was... Yeah, send me an email about that. With all the information.
Also, the later translations, in many places, the translators interpreted it literally instead of knowing the what.
Yeah, of course. Well, you have to know the tradition and the background. If you just take the verse, you're not going to get everything. You have to know the culture, the tradition, and then you'll know all the different nuances and. Inferred topics. That's why you can't translate just by dictionary translation. You have to know the whole culture and everything. So you're doing another translation, is it? Yeah.
Last verse, especially where Kulshikar is saying that Ravnath Kulshikar, he mentions two names, Vijayanagara and Padmasha. So, the translator,
they had no idea.
That there, Kavilo Kaviro, the two people is Valmiki and Namalwar. So the vision of the refers to Valmiki because his first birth is from the Valmika.
Mm-hmm.
And the Padmashara refers to Maral, in Tamil means Namalwar.
Yeah, they did it all sitting in America. What will you know? They should have asked some, definitely should have consulted some Sri Vaishnav who was knowledgeable of this. But anyway, it's not much read even within ISKCON. All right, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jnana cha vijnanam viraga yuktam avismriti krishna padara vindayo shinotya badrani cha shantanoti sadvasya shuddhim paramatma bhaktim jnanam cha vijnana viraga yuktam